With you, you want to follow along. There should be one right in front of you. I encourage you to follow along. We're going to go through the story of Jacob and Esau. We'll go through some of the story of Jacob and Esau this morning. We're going to start there. Genesis chapter 25. Genesis being the first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 25. Came into church this morning, and this front light right here was out. It's burned out on us. So Matthew informed me. He said, "At least you know what side's in darkness." So if I'm preaching more at this side this morning, you'll know what's going on. It's darkness. Genesis 25. We're going to start there at verse 24. Let's read through this. And this is Rebecca is about to have her firstborn, and it's going to be twins. Verse 24, and when her days to be delivered, that'd be Rebekah's days to be delivered, were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. Now, the name Esau means hairy, but he was red, like red hair all over, just real hairy. And that'll come into play later on. Verse 26, and after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. So when Esau was born, he was coming out. Well, Jacob grabbed a hold of Esau's heel as he was coming out. And that's a sign of things to come. And his name was called Jacob. And Jacob means supplanter. You supplant somebody. That's what the name Jacob means. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. So Isaac was 80. Score would be 20. So the way you calculate that would be 20, it'd be 3, so 3 times 20. Isaac was 60 years old there. Verse 20 says, do they still do the Gettysburg Address? Do you still have to memorize the Gettysburg Address in school anymore? Yeah. Yeah, that's how I first heard that 80 and blah, 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 was doing the Gettysburg Address. Does anybody even know who Abraham Lincoln is in school anymore? I mean, I don't know what they teach in school. I've been hearing some pretty crazy stuff. Okay, verse 27. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter. Some of you dove hunters would appreciate that. A man of the field, but Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Plain man, not like he was a simple man, but plain like he's out in the plains with his sheep and the cattle. So he was a shepherd. You'll notice all through the Bible that God looks favorably on shepherds. Of course, Jesus being the good shepherd. So Jacob was a shepherd and Esau was a hunter. Verse 28, and Isaac loved Esau. Why? Because he did eat of his venison. He loved the meal that Esau was bringing in. But Rebekah loved Jacob. So you see there's something going on there, that Jacob's probably a mama's boy, but Isaac really loved Esau because Esau was a good hunter, bring him in some of that good old deer meat, some venison. He loved to eat that. Verse 29, and Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. So Jacob was hanging out. He was out in the field, and he was making him some porridge, some pottage. And here comes Esau. He'd been out hunting, and he hadn't found anything. Verse 30, and Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I'm faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. Now, Edom means red one. So, of course, that's another take on Esau being hairy. So, hairy red, red hairy. So Esau says, give me some of that red pottage you got there. I'm hungry. I'm about to faint. And look at verse 31. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. So since Esau, they were twins, but even though they were twins, Esau came out first, so he had the birthright. The birthright in the Old Testament meant he got a double portion of Isaac's belongings. So he got a double portion of what everybody else was going to get in the inheritance. So it was a really good thing to have that birthright. So Jacob says, hey, why don't you just sell me your birthright today and I'll give you some of this pottage. Now, guys, you can tell this is the Old Testament, amen, because what's a Christian supposed to do? A Christian is supposed to give them that pottage, give them that porridge, give them whatever it is, give them the food, not expecting anything in return, amen. Here in the Old Testament, Jacob being kind of sly, he's kind of cunning. He's trying to get his birthright from him. He says, yeah, I'll give you some of this. You sell me your birthright. Verse 32, and Esau said, behold, I'm at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me? Do you believe that Esau is about to die? I don't. I really don't believe he's about to die, but Esau believed he was about to die. He's over-exaggerating. He's probably hungry. He probably heard his stomach growl for the first time in his life. A lot of us in here have never heard our stomach growl. We make sure it doesn't ever growl, amen. We keep ourselves pretty well fed in here. But Esau, he probably heard his stomach growl. And he thinks, oh, I'm about to die. What's it going to do to me? What's my birthright going to do to me? Well, this is going to mean a lot to him. And as we go through this sermon, I'm going to show you that what you got this morning is more important than what Esau had in a birthright. Everybody in this room has this morning, you've got your soul. And it's a lot more important than what he had as a birthright. Jesus Christ says, for what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? A good question that Christ has for us this morning. So he says, what good is this birthright? And Jacob said, swear to me. Verse 33, and Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Those are simply words. He's in the field. Nobody else is around. There's Jacob, and he's got that pottage. Jacob said, well, just give me your birthright. Just sell me your birthright, and I'll give you some of this pottage. He goes, well, I'm about to die anyway. What does it matter? Yeah, I swear to you, I'll give you my birthright. You know what Jesus Christ warned us about? And this is one of the scariest verses of the whole Bible. Jesus Christ said, man shall give account of, in the day of judgment, every idle word. Man shall give account of in the day of judgment. Every idle word. You're out in the field, you're with your brother, he says something, you're like, yeah, go ahead, I don't care, I don't need that, I don't need my birthright anyway, I'm about to die. God's going to hold this to him. God's going to hold this against Esau, and you're about to see, and we're going to read this morning, where Esau loses his birthright. Verse 34, then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink. Esau was feeding his belly, his God was his belly right there, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus, notice end of verse 34, thus Esau despised his birthright. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just come to you humbly in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, I pray you bless this preaching, Lord, bless this teaching, Lord. I pray, Father, that it'll be your words, not mine. Lord, I pray you hide me behind the cross. Lord, I pray a special hedge of protection around every heart in this room, Lord God, that the devil can't come in and take that word. Lord, I pray, Father, that Jesus Christ be glorified. Help us to understand, Lord God, how easy we can be fooled, Lord God, and how easy it is for the world to fool us, the devil to fool us, our friends, our family. It's so easy for us to be fooled, Lord God, and we don't think we're foolish, but Lord, I pray, Lord, you show us the truth out of these stories that we're reading, and thank you, Father, for the written word that we can, all these thousands of years later, Lord, open it up on a Sunday morning, Lord God, and get your truth out of it. In Jesus Christ, holy name I pray, amen. All right, so let's skip ahead to Genesis chapter 27. Skip ahead to Genesis 27. Esau's going to regret the day he did that. I'm here to tell you that every idle word man's going to give account of in the day of judgment. There's going to come a time where every idle word you're going to give account of. And that's a scary thing. That's a real scary thing. And I'm about to show this to you. But what I'm going to show you this morning, starting in Genesis chapter 27, really honestly, what we're going to focus on from here on out, and I'm trying to make it as quick as possible, we're going to focus on how easy it is for you to be fooled. How easy it is for you to be fooled. Because we're going to see their dad, Isaac, get fooled in this story. Everybody in this room, it's really easy for you to get fooled. And I know you're sitting out there like, well, the world, it can't fool me. The world can't fool me. Well, I'm here to tell you, you can easily be fooled. Amen. I can be easily fooled. It's real easy. Look at chapter 27. Let's skip ahead. So this is 30-something years later since he said what he said to Jacob. Since he sold his birthright, and he said, I don't need it anyway, just give me some of that pottage. You swear to me, okay, I swear I'll give it to you. 30 years later, he's probably long forgot about that story. He's long forgot about that day in the field. It was just him and his brother. Nobody else was around, but he forgot that God was around. And God's listening to you, and God's paying attention to what you're saying, and he's going to hold you accountable to your words. You got to be careful with those words. Look at chapter 27, verse 1. It came to pass that when Isaac, that's their dad, Jacob and Esau's dad, was old, and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he was going blind, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. I don't know when I'm going to die. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow. Hey, go out in the field and take me some venison. Make me some savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. So he says, I don't know when I'm going to die, but it's probably going to be pretty soon. Why don't you go out and maybe some of that real nice deer that you kill me a deer, cook it up like you cook it up so good, son. Bring it in here, and I'll eat that meal, and then I'll give you your blessing. is what he's saying there. Verse 5, and Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. I want to point out something to you. Right here, Esau thinks this is the best day of his life. Esau wakes up that morning and just a day like any other day, and his dad calls him in there and says, come on in here, son. He says, I'm about to die. No, I'm not. I'm getting old. I can't hardly see. So why don't you go out and give me some of that deer, bring it in here, make it up. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you your birthright. I'm going to pass the blessing on to you. See, that blessing started off with Abraham. God showed up to Abraham, and God said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your children after you. I'm going to give them all this land as a covenant. It's an everlasting covenant. I'm going to make a promise with you. And those that bless you, I'll bless them. Those that curse you, I'll curse you. And that's what I'm going to do for you, Abraham. And that promise from Abraham passed to his son, Isaac. And now Isaac is going to pass it on to his son, and Isaac thinks he's going to pass it on to Esau. That physical promise, that physical blessing. Because it goes to the birth, that birthright belongs to Esau. So Esau wakes up this morning thinking, man, this is the best day of my life. It's finally going to happen. I'm here to tell you, God can take a good day and turn it bad. Amen. God can take a good day and turn it bad. Amen, he can. But I'm here to tell you, though, God can take a bad day and turn it good. Amen. He can do that real fast. He can take a bad day and turn it good. Look at verse 6. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob, that's the other son, her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I'll make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. So the mama, being kind of cunning and conniving, she says, I overheard, I guarantee you she was like this against the door. Overheard your dad, he's going to bless Esau. So come in here, go get a couple of your kid goats. I'm going to kill them. I know how he likes that. I'm going to cook it up. I know how he wants it cooked. I'll cook it up. You go in there, you get the blessing over Esau. Why is she doing that? Because she loves Jacob. And remember, Isaac loves Esau. So she's kind of cunning and conniving here. Verse 11. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. I guess he was kind of like Grizzly Adams. If y'all know who Grizzly Adams was, this kind of a hairy man, and he was kind of didn't have all that hair on. Remember, Esau was real, real hairy and red. And my father peradventure will fill me, and shall seem to him, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. Well, Jacob, you would be a deceiver, amen. It wouldn't be that you seem to be a deceiver. You are about to deceive your dad. That's exactly what's about to happen. But he's worried because he goes in there, he goes, my dad's going to feel me, and I'm not hairy like my brother Esau. Verse 13, and his mother said unto him, hey, upon me be thy curse, my son, and only obey my voice and go fetch me them. You know that curse she's talking about right there? She goes, oh, don't you worry about that son. Let that curse be on me. This is going to be one of the last times she sees her son. The son she loves above all else, this is going to be one of the last days she sees that son right there, Jacob, after this story right here. It's going to be the last day she sees him. And verse 14, and he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And look at this, verse 15. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. She put those clothes on there because they smell like Esau. Those clothes that smell like Esau, she puts those on Jacob. And look at what she does, verse 16. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. She takes those goats, she skins those goats, and she puts it right here, so if you touch it, it feels really, really hairy. Boy, that tells me right there, I don't trust some of you women there. I was raised in a single-parent home. My mom raised me, and man, I know you women. I know y'all seem so nice and everything, and then, you know. Amen, amen. I love that. I was raised by a bunch of strong-willed women. I'd cross a man before I cross them, you know. Say, why do you feel like that? Because my mom used to tell me, son, you can run your mouth all you want, but you got to fall asleep eventually. You know what she meant by that? She's going to wait till I fell asleep, and then she's going to beat the tar out of me. You know, I might wake up dead, amen. You didn't know my mom. You know my mom. She would have picked up something heavy and beat my skull in or something, knowing her. So that call CPS. It'd been a little late. It'd been a little late to call CPS when you're already dead. All right, let's see. We prepared the hand of her Jacob. Okay, verse 16. She put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands, upon the smooth of his neck. Verse 17. She gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared unto the hand of her son Jacob. Here we go. Notice how easy it is to be deceived. Verse 18. It's so easy to be fooled. Verse 18. And he came unto his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I. Who art thou, my son?" So first, right off the bat, Isaac's like, "Who are you?" Because, you know, obviously Jacob's probably trying to sound like Esau. He's trying to come in. He's trying to deceive him there. He said, who art you? Who art thou, my son? And he says, verse 19, and Jacob said unto his father, "I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me." Notice first off, verse 18, go back up to verse 18, "My father," and he said, "Here am I, who art thou, my son?" He's deceived. Isaac is deceived by his eyesight. Isaac gets deceived by his eyesight. Do you know your eyes can deceive you? All y'all in here have seen those optical illusions where you can look at something and it looks like it's pointing one way, but it fools you and it's pointing the other way. And the moon, they say the moon is really not as big as it is on the horizon, but because it's on the horizon, it makes it look just huge coming up over the horizon, sun the same way. And they'll tell you that's an optical illusion. We all know in here your eyes can deceive you. Amen. You got to be careful. And here are his eyes deceiving because he can't really see, and his eyes are deceiving him. You're not sure what's going on. Your eyes can, you can have blinders put over your eyes by the world. When Jesus was walking the world, Jesus Christ said, let him that has eyes to see, let him see. You might have eyes, you might think you're seeing, but you're not seeing. Hey, we're living in a day and age where you might be talking to a woman and it's really a man. Amen, amen, you never know. I've seen videos where I'm like, why is everybody mad at this woman? And then I'm looking at the video, I said, that's not a woman, that's a man. I give up, man. I don't... Good luck to you young guys looking for a wife. You might want to check before, you know. You never know what's going on. Do a check, you know. Isaac is deceived by his eyesight. Look at the very next verse there, though. Verse 19, and Jacob said unto his father, "I am Esau, thy firstborn." So Jacob is about to do everything the devil does to you guys and does to me too. Jacob's about to use the devil's tricks of deception. He loves to fool people. He loves to deceive people. And the main trick the devil loves to use is this simple trick. And the devil's been using it since the beginning of time, since Genesis, since Eve saw that fruit and the devil was tempting Eve. And he uses this trick, and he's used it on everybody in this room. And that trick is a simple trick. It's called lies. He'll just lie to you. He's just going to lie to you. That's what he does. He just lies. He says, Jacob says, "I'm Esau." "Who are you?" "I'm Esau, thy firstborn." He's just a liar. Jesus Christ said of the devil, he said, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. That's what Jesus Christ said of the devil. He's a liar and the father of it. And here's Jacob just deceiving him by lies. "I've done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. All that fair speech. Look at verse 20. And Isaac said unto his son, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" See, Isaac's reasoning this out, and he's using a little common sense. He said, "Man, I just sent him out. There's no way he could have went out there, killed that deer, and got that thing skinned, got that thing cleaned, got that thing cooked, and already be in here." It really doesn't make a lot of sense. And that's how we can be deceived. We can just be deceived by ignoring common sense. If something doesn't look right, brothers and sisters, it's probably not right. Amen? When you see something, you say, "Well, that doesn't make a lot of sense," because it doesn't make sense because it's a lie. And what the world tries to fool you into saying is, "Hey, just trust science. Just trust science." I can't say what I feel about science because they'll kick me off Facebook. But don't trust the science. I think we're finding out. Science is run not by knowledge, it's run by money. Now, there is true science, amen, and there's scientifically things you can do to prove things. I'm not talking about true knowledge. I'm not talking about true science, but I'm talking about what the Bible says, science falsely called thereof. The science and philosophy, it's called science, but it's not science. And we're seeing a lot of that running in the world today. So if you see something that doesn't make sense, it's not adding up, it's because it doesn't make sense, because it doesn't add up. Dr. Ruppman used to tell us, if you see something that doesn't make sense, there's a dollar behind it. Amen. When you see the world doing stuff, and you see the government, it's like, why is the government doing that? Because somebody's making money off of it. That's why the government's doing that. It's real easy to figure that out. Real easy to figure that out. He's saying, how is it that thou found it so quickly, my son? And he said, now here's one of the devils, look at this next trick. And he said, that Jacob says to his dad, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Oh, that's one of the devils, another devil's favorite trick to do. He loves to fool you that way. How's that, Pastor? He loves to bring in God's name. He loves to bring in the name of Jesus. He loves to bring in God's name and say, well, God told me to do this. God told me to do that. God told me this and God told me that. The Jehovah's Witnesses were down there at the Hamilton Courthouse Square, and they're always down there snaking around. I call it snaking around. They're always over there snaking around and everything. If you go over there and talk to them, they'll mention the name of Jesus and they'll mention the name of God. And if you don't know any better, they could fool you and trick you. But it's not the same Jesus, and it's not the same God. They'll fool you. That's how the devil, and he's bringing in the Lord God's name into this, because the Lord that God brought it to me. And look at verse 21. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. Notice he's going to fool him by his touch. He's going to fool him by touch. He's going to fool him by just the touch, he's touching it. The voice, and he goes in there and he says, Jacob went into his father and felt him and said, thy voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. So he's not only deceived by the touch, now he's being deceived by the voice, by his own ears. You know, I've talked and witnessed to people about Jesus Christ, and they'll say, I won't believe in God unless I can touch it. I don't believe it unless I can touch it. But I'm here to tell you, even if you can touch it, you can be deceived. You can be fooled. You can be made a fool of. And I've many years been made a fool that way, thinking, oh, I can see that, and it's not what you think. It's not what you think. And if you can touch it, it's not what you think you're touching. It's amazing how the world and the devil can fool you into things. Verse 22, and Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him. He said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Your ears can deceive you. Your ears can deceive you. The devil loves, and the world loves to tell you what you want to hear. Your heart will deceive you, and your heart wants so hard to believe something, and the world will tell you what you want to hear. Tell you what you want to hear. The best friend you can have is a friend that will shoot straight with you, amen? I like that. Remember that old Geico commercial when it was Honest Abe? And there was Honest Abe sitting there, and his wife comes in there, and, you know, she's like, does this dress make my butt look big? And Honest Abe kind of sits there like that, and she gets mad and storms off, you know, because he can't tell her the truth, right? I love that commercial. The devil will tell you what you want to hear. Why is he doing that? Because he wants to see you in hell. That's where he's going to go, and he wants to see you in hell, and he'll tell you whatever you want to hear. Guys, we're as dumb as dogs. I'm not trying to be mean to you, but we're as stupid and dumb as dogs. When I was growing up, I had a friend, and his dog would run off, and he'd try to get that dog to come back. He'd go, get over here, go! Get over here! And he figured out that when he was yelling at that dog, the dog would get scared, you know, and run off. But if he would talk real sweet, like, come here, come on, Daddy loves you, just talk real, real sweet to him, that dog would come back, and he'd grab that dog and then put him back in the fence and everything else. You know what he started doing? He'd get mad at that dog. He'd talk real nice to the dog. Come over here so I can cut your throat. Come over here. I'm going to kill you. Come on. Come on over here. I'm going to kill you. And that dog's like, yeah. We can be fooled so easy, just like a dumb dog. They were talking really nice to me. Yeah, but they're fooling you. They said all these sweet words to me, but they're fooling you. They brought up God's name. They were talking about Jesus. They're fooling you. You say, well, how can I not be fooled? Get in the Word of God. You know you got the truth right there. It's right there in the Word of God. Look at verse 23. Let's move on. He discerned him not because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, art thou my very son, Esau? And he said, I am. Jacob's, there's five doubts in here. You can break it down. There's five doubts that Isaac has, and there's five lies that Jacob tells him. Just lie after lie after deception after deception. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. He brought him wine, and he drank. That's the last one. That's that. The five. He went through all five senses, your hearing, your smell, your sight, your taste, your touch. He went through all five of those, and Isaac was deceived by all five of them, including the taste. Now, I know us men in here, we know what things taste like. And I drive my wife crazy because I love A1 sauce, but she cannot go buy the off-brand A1 sauce. It's got to be A1 sauce. And I've got a delicate palate. And I can tell if it's real A1 sauce or if it's that knockoff brand from Aldi's A1 sauce. And she'll do that to me. Instead of buying Miracle Whip, she'll try to squeeze in that nasty Beermans. It's like, that's not Beermans. That's not Miracle Whip. I think there's no way you could fool me. Yeah, there's a way to fool me. Amen? And here's Isaac. He thinks, I love. And Rebecca made it for him, gives it to him. He's eating it like it's the best stuff he ever had. It's goat. Not venison. Verse 26, and his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him. One interesting thing about the Bible is that you can define words out of the Bible like the word kiss. That's the first time the word kiss is used in the Bible. And from there on out, the word kiss in the Bible is almost always associated with the curse. And you'll see like when Jesus Christ was betrayed by Judas, Jesus Christ was betrayed by Judas how? By a kiss. And there's Jacob deceiving and betraying his dad's trust with a kiss. Come here and kiss me. You know, and then of course the mafia says the kiss of death. They'll kiss you both cheeks before they take you out. The kiss of death. And he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him. Smells like Esau, right? And said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Man, all of your senses. He's deceived by all of them. Therefore, God give thee of the dew. Now, he's going to bless him right here. This is the blessing. He's passing it on. Verse 28 and 29. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's son bow down to thee. Cursed be he, everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. So Isaac is convinced that he's talking to his son Esau. He's went through all the tests, and he's given him all the tests, and he's still fooled. And he says, I'm going to bless you. And he blesses Jacob, thinking that it's Esau. And that spiritual and physical, that physical blessing that's passed on from Abraham to Isaac, now it's passing on to Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and now it's Jacob, gets that physical blessing that the Jew has. Look at verse 30. And we're closing up, guys. We're getting close. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet, look at this, yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. So, I mean, the way the Bible's saying there, he just barely walked out the tent. Jacob barely got out of the tent, and here comes Esau at the other side of the tent. I brought your food, Daddy. What I'm trying to show you there by pointing that out is that you can see God's hand in all this. You say, how do you say that, Pastor? You can see God's hand in that because it says he scarce had gone out, and here comes Esau in the other side of the tent, you know. He's scarce gone out. All God had to do to prevent this is to give him a deer just a little bit quicker. As soon as Esau went out hunting, if he'd had a deer, God had brought deer sooner. Esau would have hit it sooner, skinned it, got it done. God was, by chance, making this stuff happen. And, of course, we know that stuff's that's God's hand, not chance. And to where Esau would come in at the right time and it would hinder him. I'm telling you guys, when we get to heaven, we're going to find out that God's been doing a lot of things in our life we didn't know was going on. You know that time we were driving down the road and boom, we have that flat tire and you're trying not to cuss like a sailor about it and you're all mad and you're out there and you're like, why'd I have a flat tire? It's ruining my day, blah. God just kept you from going down the road and killing yourself or running somebody else over. We'll never know until we get to heaven. And I think I give God all the praise for that. Because I know God's good, and whatever He's doing in my life, He's trying to do it for the good. Amen? And in your life too. Verse 31, and he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father and said to his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. See, Esau's in a really good mood. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, who art thou? He said, I'm thy son, thy firstborn, Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that had taken venison and brought it to me? And have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. Oh, no. Oh, no. Isaac's figuring out that he's been hornswoggled. Isaac, who are you? Oh, and he starts trembling. Guys, every sinner underneath the sound of my voice that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, there's going to come a day you're going to stand before God and you're going to tremble. Are you going to tremble when you realize the world has deceived you? Your heart has deceived you? Maybe your family's deceived you? And you didn't take Jesus Christ and you thought, I don't need that. It's just all a joke. It's just a dream. I don't need any of that. My parents, they're just living in a dream. I don't need Jesus Christ. And you're going to stand before God Almighty. You're going to tremble when you're going to realize I've been deceived. And it's going to be too late. At that time, it'll be too late. And you're going to see there's no turning back. You see at the end of it, and yea, he shall be blessed. It's too late. I've already blessed him. Verse 34, and when Esau heard the words of his father, notice, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry. And said unto his father, bless me, oh, even me also. Oh, my father, bless me. He starts crying and weeping and said, Lord, no, Daddy, no, don't tell me. Just tell me that's not so, Daddy. Bless me. Give me a blessing. In verse 35, Isaac said, thy brother hath came with subtlety. That's the way Satan works, subtle. And hath taken away thy blessing. You've been fooled. You know, Jack Chick, he's got a real good gospel track, and we got it in the back where a guy's going through life, and he's going through life, and he has a professor saying, the Bible's just a lie. It's all written by men. Don't believe any of it. You don't have to believe the Bible. And this guy's going through life, and there's different people in his life telling him all this stuff about how he doesn't need God and doesn't need Christ. And at the end, he goes and he dies in this gospel tract, and he wakes up in hell. He's up in hell, and he wakes up, and there's the guy that's been talking to him all his life about how not to believe God. And he looks at him, and that guy takes off that mask, and it's the devil. And he said, I fooled you. And it's a simple tract, but it's so profound. There's so many people in the world, they're following the media, they're following teachers, they're following professors, they're following movie stars, they're following the internet, they're following everything but God Almighty through Jesus Christ. And they're getting fooled, and they're getting the eyes pulled open, and they're getting their ears dulled, and their senses, and a lot of it doesn't make any kind of sense, but they're still following it anyway. And there's come a day they're going to realize they've been fooled. And I pray to God it won't happen to you guys in here, and they'll wake up and they'll be crying with a bitter cry. Verse 36, and he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he had taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? Notice Esau says he took away my birthright. Did Jacob take away his birthright? Yeah, he kind of did. But you know what really happened? I read it to you in chapter 25. Esau sold his birthright, amen? He despised it. And he was out in that field, and one day he was out there and he said, I don't need that. And 30 years later, he found out he did want that. I'm here to tell you this morning, you might be in this morning, you're like, I don't need Jesus Christ. And it might not be today. And it might not be 10 years from now. You might be 30 years older before you realize, I need that. I need Jesus Christ. But I pray to God, it's not when you've died and walking up in the devil's hell and realize, what have I done? And you can cry, verse 34, and weep with a bitter cry, and there's nothing that can be done for you. See, one of the most profound things that a pirate, of all things, was saying yesterday to those people there in Hamilton, and he said it over and over again, it's real profound, and I credited him. He said, you're not a winner. You're not a winner in here, and you're not a loser. You're a chooser. Every kid in here, he said, you're not a winner, and you're not a loser. You're a chooser. And you're going to choose what you're going to do in your life. And what makes that so profound is that's the truth about everybody in this room. Everybody in this room, you're not a loser, and you're not a winner. You're not a winner, and you're not a loser. Really, honestly, you're a chooser. And you're going to make a choice this morning, or have already made that choice in your life, if you're going to take Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And maybe you went through your life like Isaac and been deceived by your sight, been deceived by your reasoning, deceived by your taste, by your smell, by being lied to. Maybe you've been lied to and didn't realize you've been lied to all this time. And you're here this morning, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit is opening up your eyes and you're seeing it. Now you got to make a choice. Are you going to do like Esau did and say, like he did so many years ago, and say, nah, I don't need that. It's not that big a deal. We got a young man that's come to this church on and off for years. He's laying up in a coma right now up in Dallas. 19 years old, laying in a coma. Did he think he was going to be 19 laying in a coma, don't know if he's going to live? I didn't think that 3 months ago. We have a young man that was turned 18 here, and we buried him, died of a brain tumor. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. God was gracious and gave Esau another 30 years before it came to haunt him. You might not have that much grace given to you. You might not have tomorrow. I don't know. But I'm here to tell you, whatever you do, don't leave those doors without making a decision for Jesus Christ. Because even if you don't die tomorrow, or you don't die in 10 years, you might live another 30 years. I can tell you this with assurance of all things, Jesus Christ is coming back. And you're going to have to answer to him. And no matter what the media tells you or whatever, you're not going to get to vote for him. You're not going to say, I didn't vote him in. He's a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You don't vote in a king. He just comes in and starts ruling and reigning. You better get ready. You either can bow to him now or you'll bow to him then. I think I'm going to bow to him now and take him as my Lord and Savior.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor Keegan Hall of Indian Gap Baptist Church of Indian Gap, Texas. If you'd like to contact us, you can do it at IndianGapBaptist.com. On the internet, it's IndianGapBaptist.com. But I have a question for you. If you died tonight, do you know if you would go to heaven? If you're not sure, let me show you a few verses out of the Bible so you can know if you have eternal life. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." So that verse tells us there that you can know you have eternal life. And I want to show you how you can know that. Jesus Christ talked in John chapter 3, verse 16, and most people have heard this verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's an amazing verse, of course, talking about how God gave Jesus Christ as a gift to the world. But verse 17 and 18, he went on to say something interesting. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So the whole reason Jesus Christ came into this world was to save you and to save me and you. But in verse 18, he says something that's amazing. He says that he that believeth on him is not condemned. He's stressing a faith. It's putting your faith into Jesus Christ. But he says there in verse 18, "But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So he says you're condemned already if you haven't believed in Jesus Christ. It's not like you're going to go to heaven and you're going to stand before God and you're going to have God put your good deeds on the scale and your bad deeds on the other side of the scale, and he's going to weigh it. And if you've been a good enough person down on this earth, that he'll let you into heaven. It doesn't work that way. Jesus Christ is real explicit here to say that you're condemned already. You need a Savior right now. Same chapter down in verse 36, it says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." It goes back to a believe, putting your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But the verse continues, "And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." See, it's going on right now. You need a Savior right now. You need to be saved from a devil's hell. Paul sums it up real good here in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." It's putting your faith in Jesus Christ from the heart. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and then with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." It's very important to confess Jesus Christ, because the mouth shows where the heart's at. And in verse 13, he sums it up, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So friends, as simple as just bowing your head and saying a prayer, something like this: "Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you came up from the grave and are alive right now listening to me. I invite you into my heart to save me. Please save me, Lord Jesus. Amen." If you prayed something similar to that, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at IndianGapBaptist.com. And God bless you, and until next time.
Cast in all your care upon Him.